Things are going to be a little different today. I was reminded of a story of where a pastor got up to preach his sermon, and he started off by saying, "I have so much to say today, I really don't know where to start." And a voice spoke out from the back of the sanctuary, "How about somewhere near the end?" Well, this is going to be a short-winded little meditation because we're going to set aside the usual type of format we have for Sunday morning worship. Because that's really our theme this morning, set aside, set apart. And as always, we start and always we stay anchored to Jesus Christ. I'm going to read a verse of Scripture here. Grab a Bible. That's a hymnal. It's called Being Prepared. There we go. Thank you. I knew there was one. In the book of Hebrews, where Hebrews presents Jesus Christ as the perfect eternal high priest that we absolutely need if we are going to be saved and reconciled to God. And in Hebrews 7, verse 26, this is how Jesus as high priest is described, how he's just right for us. "Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens." Jesus was set apart from sinners. He never sinned. He was pure. And only a Savior like that could atone for our sins by going to the cross. But we find out biblically that it's not just Jesus who's set apart, but because he was set apart from sinners, sinners who have been put their faith in him are set apart from others as God's people. In Leviticus chapter 20, as the Israelites came out of Egypt, God spoke to his people, and he said this to them, "You are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." We are a set apart people as God's people. Holy means to be set apart, sanctified, pure. Now, none of us are holy in ourselves. We are made holy by the blood of Jesus, and then we want to cooperate with him in living in a way that honors him according to the Word of God. The New Testament calls believers in Christ saints. Now, sometimes in popular usage, saints is kind of a term used for people that are really nice and they very religious. But biblically speaking, all who put their faith in Christ, we are saints because we are made holy by the blood of Christ. And this verse in Leviticus says we are set apart from the nations, from those who at least yet have not embraced Jesus Christ. This is not, as we know it, this is not a cause for prideful superiority. It's not that at all, because it's all by God's grace that we've been called and set apart. In fact, one of the ways that we glorify God, because we're set apart for the glory of God. In fact, one of the songs we just sang spoke of that we are to glorify our King. One of the ways we are set apart to glorify God is to be witnesses to the nations and let them know of Jesus Christ. But even though it's all by God's grace that we've been set apart, it's not to obscure the fact that it's because we are very, very valuable in the eyes of God. That's how he looks at us. There is a story, and this is not autobiographical, by the way, of a grandmother who is referring to her 6-year-old grandson. Now, we have a 6-year-old grandson, and I can see where this could be his scenario too. But this was a grandmother who said that her grandson was overplaying at his friend Charlie's house. And then this grandson called his mom and said, "Mom, Charlie and I were playing with a football in the living room, and I threw it and it broke a lamp." And of course, he could just hear his mom's big sigh on the other end of the phone. But he said, "Mom, you don't have to worry. You don't have to buy another one, because Charlie's mom says that the lamp was irreplaceable." Well, friends, we are irreplaceable in the eyes of God. As broken as we are in sin, and we all have been very broken, God loves us so much, he sent his Son, the set-apart one, in order to fix us at the cross and bind us together. And Jesus even uses the image in Matthew 5 that we are to be His light. We're like a lamp. We're a lamp that's been put back together because we're irreplaceable. And we now are to let our light shine to the nations. Paul knew this. When he started off his letter to the Romans, he began with this. He said, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Paul knew, once he came to faith in Christ, he knew what he was there for. He was there for the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of God. He was set apart for that. Now, not all of us are called to be apostles, but all of us are called to be set apart for the gospel and to bear witness. Now, within that common call that we all have, this is a common call for every follower of Jesus Christ, that we are set apart for the gospel of God. That's our goal in life, to live for His glory. But within that common calling we all have, God also sets apart particular people for particular functions. For example, Acts chapter 13, we read this. Some of the church leaders were meeting in Antioch, verses 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Paul and Barnabas were set apart for a particular missionary journey. And we have often in circles set apart particular people for particular uses. Last week at our annual meeting, we elected a couple of new elders and a couple of new deacons to help serve as officers in our church. This isn't because they're superior or less than anyone else, but they have been set apart by the voice of the Holy Spirit through the congregation for their purposes. So I'd like to call those four forward now, Todd and Heather and Barbara and Jen, if you would please come forward. And I'd like Barb and Jen to stand over here, and Heather, Todd, right over here. Heather and Todd are newly elected as elders, and they will be installed and ordained because they have not served before as elders. This is their first time. Jen and Barb have both served as deacons before. They'll be reinstalled onto the deacons board. And for you four, I have a little charge for you. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, Paul writes that as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. Now, there's two things about that. First, we receive Jesus as Lord. Continue to live in Him as Lord. But we also receive Him by faith. So continue to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. It goes on to say, rooted and built up. Continue to let your roots sink deeper and deeper in the Lord. Continue to grow. And yet also be built up as you serve Him. And continue to grow in maturity. It says, strengthen in the faith as you were taught. You were taught according to the Scriptures. Continue to be strengthened, but continue to be in the Word. And then overflowing with thankfulness. Let your heart resonate with the joy of the Lord. Now, here's the neat thing about this. As you personally, as officers, continue to grow in Christ that way, that raises the tide of everyone else. It's a way that we too are encouraged to likewise grow in Christ at the same time. So I'm going to ask you the ordination questions now, and I'd like you to respond as an expression of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you trust in Jesus Christ your Savior, acknowledge Him Lord of all and Head of the Church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you accept the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be, by the Holy Spirit, the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ in the Church Universal and God's Word to you? And do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our Church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? And will you fulfill your ministry in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? And will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? And will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's word and spirit? Okay. And will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? And do you promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church? And then will you pray for and seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? And then for you, Todd and Heather, as elders, will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? And will you share in the government and discipline, serving in councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? And Barb and Jen, as deacons, will you be faithful deacons, teaching charity, urging concern, and directing the people's help to the friendless and those in need? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Great. And then, B, you have some questions for the congregation.
Do we, the members of the church, accept Todd and Heather and Barb and Jen as elders and deacons, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? And do we agree to encourage them, to respect their decisions, and to follow as they guide us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? Do we?
We do.
Great. I'd like to ask the current session members, as well as those who have just rotated off, to come forward and gather behind Todd and Heather. Maybe Todd and Heather, you can just step forward here. And for your current deacons and those rotating off, if you can gather behind Barb and Jen, lay hands on them as we commit them to the Lord in prayer. Would the rest... Heavenly Father, we thank you for these that you've called by the Spirit through the voice of the congregation to be set apart for a task that's too big for them, but not for you. And so we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon each of them to be faithful and to be able to carry out this call, because where you call, you equip. So we thank you for Todd. Thank you for his love for you, for the youth, for your church, and thank you for the sharp mind that you've given him. May that mind continue to be renewed and shaped by the Word of God and the love of Christ as he serves you. We thank you for Heather, Lord. Thank you for her compassion. Thank you for her commitment to, not only to the church, but to this community, wanting to see the gospel shared with all. And we pray that you would give her great favor, and the fragrance of Christ might be manifest powerfully through her as she steps into this role as elder. May your sufficiency be complete for her. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you also for Barb. We thank you for just how she has grown as a powerful student of the Word of God, not just studying, but living it and proclaiming it. And in that process, making clear the truth and the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray a fresh anointing on her, and thank you for her heart for the marginalized and the needy, and bless her in her ministry on deacons. Lord, we thank you for Jen. She exhibits a heart of worship, a heart of the joy of the Lord. And may you anoint her afresh as she comes back on deacons to serve with that joy and to be an example of what it means to serve the Lord in gladness of heart. And may you give her the strength that she needs. We pray blessing over their homes, and we pray a great connection with the others that they work on, and elders and deacons, that there may be a great sense of unity. And in this critical season of our congregation, that you would anoint these officers, those that they work with, for the advancement of the gospel. We set them apart unto you, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And you may all be seated. Now, before we sing a song and then come to the Lord's table, I want us to set apart about 2 minutes for a specific prayer. And that is for Lynette. As we've been praying for her, I want to give you an update about her and then how we can specifically pray for her this morning. She's been in the hospital for 2 weeks. Last Tuesday, a procedure where there was an aneurysm tied off. We were thankful for that. She had another incident Friday night of a bleed. And then we understand now this morning they found another aneurysm, and they're operating on her now to tie that off. And so we want to pray. What they are looking for is there's been some weakness in the vessels up there, and they're looking for a 21-day window in which she can go 21 days without any more bleeds or seizures, and that would kind of be indicative that this is over. And so there's going to be a recovery process as well. And so hearing that, I was up there last night. I was able to pray with them and with Chuck. We need to definitely hold him up. You know, we don't understand all that God's doing here, but there's a sense that God is doing this all for His glory. But here's the specific way I'd like us to pray for her and Chuck this morning. In just a moment, and if you want to, I'll ask for those who can, if you just want to kneel. And then we're going to have 21 seconds of silence, where just in your hearts, lift this couple before the Lord. And then I will lead an intercessory prayer after 21 seconds, symbolic of the days that we're going to pray that her brain stays quiet and she's on the road to recovery. So if you can, if you could kneel right now, and I'll tell you when we start the 21 seconds. Okay, let's begin. 21 seconds. Heavenly Father, your word tells us that in everything to give thanks in Christ Jesus. For this is your will. We give thanks that you are with Lynette and Chuck. We give thanks that there is a mystery here, but you will be glorified. We want to lift Lynette before the throne of grace right now, corporately as the body of Christ to which they are connected. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would work through the surgeon's hands, that this current procedure would be done safely and well. Thank you that it was discovered. But now in the name of Jesus, we pray no more bleeds, no more seizures. We want to also pray your powerful presence with them both, because you promised to be with them. And Father, we also cancel any curses that have been spoken against Lynette or Chuck, that any place where the enemy has been given a foothold, we cancel them by the blood of Jesus, and we say she's set free. They are set free. We put over them the shield of protection, your armor, Lord Jesus. And we pray now for a 21-day period of restoration and health so that she could be released home and continue that healing process. Lord, we pray for Chuck. Thank you for his love and faithfulness as a husband. As they walk through this together, sustain him and provide for every one of their needs, body, soul, and spirit. We pray that this might be used for your glory and for reconciliation in every dimension. Thank you, Father, in advance. You are a loving, good, and faithful God. We pray with thanksgiving and expectation in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I encourage us all just to continue to be in prayer. By the way, there has just been a fresh email put out by Heather just to encourage us that as we pray, there won't be daily reminders if there's nothing new to report, because we don't want to have Chuck have to continue to be sending out reports, but we will continue to keep them in prayer. These are exciting times at FTPC and challenging times, and so it's very appropriate for us to set ourselves apart unto the Lord anew. And we're going to be singing now, I Surrender All, and that is on number 596 in the hymnals. Let's stand as we sing, I Surrender All. As we come to the communion table, we remember that Jesus was set apart from sinners. He was qualified to be our Savior because He was fully God, able to save us, and fully man, identifying with us in every way except without sin. And so, He, on the night He was betrayed, at the Last Supper, He took bread and He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." He also took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." We have been bound together in a new covenant by the blood of Christ who's forgiven us. And as we put our faith in Him, as with anyone around the world, any tribe, language, race that says yes to Jesus, we become a part of that covenant people, a people set apart to be witnesses to the nations. But as we saw in Hebrews 7:26, Jesus was set apart from sinners. He was pure and holy. We can't confess that on our own. But in our desire to honor the Lord and to recognize that it's all by His grace, we can come with humility. The communion table here at FTPC is open to all who put their faith in Jesus. You don't have to be a member of this church or denomination to participate. But we do ask, if you want to participate, that your trust truly be in Christ alone as Lord and Savior. We're going to take a moment in quiet prayer. This is a time to put our hearts right before the Lord. If you have anything to confess, maybe where you have not been living distinct from the nations, not really honoring Him, this is a time just to take that to the cross and ask forgiveness. Reset Him as Lord of all. Let's take a moment and prepare our hearts before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for the gift of confession and repentance that sets our hearts right with You. Thank You that we can acknowledge that it's all by Your grace as we humble our hearts and recognize the depth of Your love for us here at the cross. So we pray now that as we have confessed our sins, we would have that assurance that comes through Your word that we are forgiven and restored, and that the blood of Christ is sufficient. And we pray that You would set aside these elements now, consecrate them to their intended use, so that we would not only know that we're saved by grace, but we live and are sustained by Your grace as well. We love You, Lord. We pray this with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. The bread represents the body of the Lord broken for each one of us. Please feel free to take the bread as you receive it. cup represents the new covenant we have through the blood of Jesus, by which we're forgiven and united with each other. So please hold on to the cup until all have been served. We will partake together as one body in Christ. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we are so thankful that you have been set apart to deliver us, and we are set apart to proclaim you. We thank you for this means of reminding us of our grace in you. And now we pray that you would empower us by the Holy Spirit to bear witness to you here and wherever you lead us. We are yours. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to come to the final part of our service, and there's one other set apart we need to recognize. In the Bible, not only were people set apart for the glory of God, things were set apart for the glory of God. And the book of Exodus, when they completed the temple or the tabernacle, they went around the tabernacle and anointed every part with oil, setting apart so that this place could be used for the glory of God. That's what we're going to do now, as we have done in the last couple of years. It's our Lenten prayer cleansing time. And I'm going to have Kim put on the board right now a kind of a schematic of this, and with a slight change here. Here we got the upstairs over here. And I would like to have our facilitators to get in their place as I explain to how we're going to do this. And so if you would come up, and that would be Barb and Rick and Heather, Jenny, and Barb, Barb Gilbert's going to be taking Robert and Katrina's place, because Robert and Katrina are home with sick kids, so they're not here. Grab a oil for anointing, and then I will tell you where to go as I explain where, how we will do that. Oh, okay. Take an oil, any oil, not that one. There we go. Yeah. Yeah, make sure that they have oil in it. Now, here's where I want you to go. Ben, I want you to go back into... You guys are Siberia. Ben, you go back by the coffee hour table, and Barb, you're on the other side, the east side of the narthex. Those are the outside groups. This is going to be for the upstairs, and so Rick and Heather, right here, you're in good place. And then, let's see, there, B, you would be back there in that corner. And then Barb Gilbert, you're going to be right there where Robert and Katrina were going to be. And then the downstairs, yeah,
middle
right,
of the wall.
Yeah, middle of the wall, middle, right, yeah, right there. And then downstairs group, Jeanette, if you could go back by the AV booth, and then John in the middle there, and then Marcy up by the piano, and then Jenny will just stay right here. What we're going to do is in just a moment, I'm going to have you pick one of these groups to go to, and you can see the area that they will have. Downstairs, John is going to be doing the fellowship hall and the kitchen and anointing those areas. Marcy will be doing the junior church room, the senior high room, and the what we call the electrical room there. It's a classroom. And the, like I said, the senior high room's kind of, but you know, we are praying prophetically as to what it will be. And the same with Jeanette. She's got the currently empty but future junior high room and this side room, which is going to be kind of like a lounge, is what we're looking at right now, as well as the hallways, Jeanette, and the bathrooms downstairs. Upstairs, Jenny will be here in the sanctuary. B is going to take the two offices and the narthex area. And then Barb now is going to be taking the new nursery and the library, and then the entryway. Then, and Rick and Heather do the parlor right here, as well as the restroom area and the prayer room. And then the outside group, Ben is going to do the north and the west sides in the sheds, and Barb will lead a group doing the east and the south side in the prayer garden. So here's the way we'll do it. I want at least three in a group, and that'll be good enough, or more. You'll have an interest maybe by, if you, for example, if you have an interest in youth, you may go to one of the youth rooms or the fellowship hall, whatever your interest is, you'll do that. And Jeanette, if you could come in kind of near the AV booth, right, just right near Nancy, then you'll have about 15 minutes to go and do your prayer time and then come back. Now, if you are not really comfortable with doing this, you can just stay here in your seat in the sanctuary, and in your heart you can join whichever group stays in the sanctuary to go around and anoint this area right here. Any questions before we disperse? And by the way, I think there are a few junior church kids. They're going to join us. Don has already been preparing them, talking about the cleansing of the temple, and then have the junior kids. And then come back here in about 15 minutes for our close. Okay, any questions? All right, go to your respective groups you want to go and make sure there's three, and then head on out. Anyone can take the oil and anoint. Anyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have our first returning group. And you were the, oh, I see. You're the
Marcy
group, senior high, junior church room.
Yes.
Good. Hi, Ella. First I've seen you today. I'm glad you were part of that group. Yeah. 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 Okay, you've got other groups coming in. As you come in, go ahead and be seated. And as a few other groups come in, we'll close here in a moment. Any particular testimonies, any particular thing you observed, your experience that might have been new that you'd like to share, how God was maybe working through your group? Anyone have a quick testimony or insight that was helpful in your rounds? This is another way to say debrief as the team's coming in, just in case there are any questions or testimonies about this. B?
We were just up here in a coffee hour area and the offices, and yet as we were out there, we thought, wow, that also represents the role of the Lord being had. We had missions, we had leadership, we had the hub of all the stuff that goes out to the offices, we had fellowship. I mean, just kind of like, that is, covers all dynamics of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
In that little area. I mean, at first I thought that empty room was two offices. But
right.
Like,
It's kind of right, you're right, because it's right kind of there in the center, and the spokes go out, you know, worship, leadership, youth, and all that. Nursery? Good. Any other quickie comments, questions? Yes, Todd?
We pray for the youth groups, and I thought it was poignant that while in there praying for the youth rooms, we had some of our youth who actually prayed as well, who may not have been so comfortable with that just a couple of years ago, and to see them stepping up and really maturing.
Yeah. How exciting. So to the youth themselves, I mean, there's a sense of ownership and praying. And that's why we wanted to do this all ages, because we're all, you know, called by God, you know, all ages. Great. Any other comments or? Yes, Jen.
This validates that all of this belongs to the Lord. Yeah. And He honors us by being honored
yeah.
Him by using it in His name.
Yeah.
And the souls that worship here belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
It
does. It's wonderful. We are stewards. That we are caretakers of what God has given us for His glory. Dick?
In the history of our family, I remember at least twice when we were given objects that were not of the Lord, and we had trouble in the home until we burned those and left them out of our homes.
Yeah.
Some of the principles easily apply over to our homes.
Yeah.
If there's anything that is dangerous.
Yeah. 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 That's a very good point. That's not superstition. That's reality, where you give footholds to the enemy, where you invite things in that may be an invitation for him. That includes our computers, you know, what we allow in on the computers, so in our TV screens. Good point. Anyone else before we close? Yeah, Jesse. It makes you kind of want to be an infant again, right? Babes in Christ. That's good. Well, it's great to be together and just set this apart and set ourselves apart to serve the Lord. So let's stand in closing. We're going to be singing number 423, The Bond of Love. And after the benediction, we'll sing that first verse one more time. Friends, we have been blessed to be a blessing. We've been set apart by Christ and are now sent by Christ. We've been bathed in the Father's love to go and share the Father's love. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit to now go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. To God be the glory. Amen.